Well, hey, we are taking a look at the beginning of our series. It's our holiday series. It's entitled Encouraging Christmas Lessons. That is our series that we're going to be journeying together and having a great time of that. But before we introduce today's message, I want to pray and also encourage you, please consider if you have your bulletin card, we still invite you to take notes. We try to give you substantial notes so that you can recall things that we're believing God will speak to you upon. So here we go. Father, thank you. Thank you for the way you equip us and provide things that we need to hear that will seize the day and carry us forward with your plan, your will, and for our future, the betterment of it. So, Lord, speak. Use this feeble person called Paul to bring about your message for each heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you know why I pray. If I can't even bring a joke, it's like, help, Lord. How many know today's message is following God does not require full understanding? That is our Christmas, our encouraging Christmas lesson. Following God does not require a full understanding. Take, for example, travel. Ainsley and I enjoy traveling. We've been to some pretty great places. And if you go on an air flight, you've seen what it is to take a flight with not fully understanding all the process. You check your bags in. All of a sudden, your luggage disappears. You don't see it anymore until you arrive at your destination. How do they do that? Well, naturally, it's interesting. You get on a plane that is piloted by somebody you've never met. You don't know this person. Your whole life is invested in confidence of a person you don't know, not fully understanding who's flying this plane. You don't really have a clear understanding of how this all operates. You get into a tin can called a plane flying at an elevation over 30,000 feet, and then you are traveling at 600 miles an hour, and the only thing you know about this flight is not the route, but that you know you should arrive at this destination at approximate time. So you don't have a full understanding of your travel, but it is interesting how we put our confidence on things that we don't fully understand. Today, we're taking a look at the Christmas story and the characters that laid out in the Christmas story and that they were willing to obey God, not fully understanding their assignment. Now, that's important for us because the message, the lesson, is for you and me. Are there things that we know we should be doing we don't fully understand that could cause us to hesitate, to stall out, to not participate? So let's begin here. Our first point, you can see on your notes, number one, being confused, following God is what? It's normal. It's normal. If you've not come to that realization, let's lay it out for you, because many times people have gone nowhere with God because it does not make sense to them. They don't understand. But let's look here. We're dealing with a couple of those Zechariah. He was a priest performing his service at the temple in Jerusalem. Now, we have a beautiful setting here in Luke chapter 1. I love how Luke opens up the Christmas story. And he starts right there with Zechariah, who is married to Elizabeth. And it's interesting because both of them are well advanced in years. They're old. They have no children. She's barren. And so Zechariah, this story shows that it's his turn to have a time of incense lighting in the temple. And it's called the holy place. It's the altar of incense. There are only three pieces of furniture in this small little darkened area. It's illuminated by the menorah on one side, the showbread on the other. And he's now standing at the altar of incense, lighting it. That is right before the veil, going into the Holy of Holies that nobody goes into except once a year on the Day of Atonement. And he's now in there by himself lighting the incense. Everybody else knows what's going on, but they are outside. And as he goes, Scripture says, an angel appears to the right. Now, he was terrified. Wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you? Have you ever had somebody just show up around the corner and you didn't anticipate? And the angel says to Zechariah, your prayer has been answered. Your prayer has been heard. And Elizabeth will bear a son, and you're going to call his name John. He's going to become John the Baptist. Now, you can imagine something that's going on here. Check it out with me. Let's begin with our first portion of Scripture. I'm in Luke chapter 1, verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I am an old man, and my wife is also well along in years." Can you imagine? Now, that angel is Gabriel. He must have the assignment of birth announcements. Isn't it great? Because he's going to go visit Mary in a little bit. But what a great announcement to give him. And so all of a sudden, he's telling Zechariah, this child will be filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. I'm telling you, parents, you should believe for every bit of the kingdom of God for all your children. And those things are not a byproduct of some kind of classroom setting. It's of the Lord. Lord, touch and bless. We went through that, did we not? About how to bless others, because we're called to be a blessing. So he comes along and he says, how can this be? He's doubting. He's confused. That's our point with him right now. In verse 20, as you see in your text, Gabriel, the angel, says, because you did not believe, this is going to be your sign. You will not be able to speak until all this comes about. Now, that's interesting. And naturally, the storyline goes, when Elizabeth does deliver the baby, that baby comes forth. And in the dedication, everybody in the city's there, because what an amazing miracle, this elderly couple having a child. And they ask, what is the name of this little baby boy? And Elizabeth says, John. And everybody says, how could that be? There is no John in your family. Tradition is you rename. And they gave a tablet to John. He writes it out, John. And his mouth opens. And he begins to bless God. Wouldn't that be a way to open your mouth every morning? You start to sing and celebrate a miracle. So we take a look here. We see another one, letter B, Mary. Now, Mary, teenage girl who gets pregnant before she is married. Now, naturally, to have something like this happen to anybody, you would absolutely be confused. But God is asking her something. But let's see here. I'm in Luke chapter 1 once again, verse 26. And it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, her relative is 6 months along with baby John. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, and she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Another setting of confusion. Our point is to follow God. Doesn't always remember, we need to know all the details. But it's worth noting because she is betrothed, engaged to Joseph. That was a big deal in those days. That's as good as a marriage contract. You don't break off those betrothals. You do not break away from being engaged. You are really committed to this engagement. But it's interesting because it says in our text that she's a virgin. Twice it says just that. And look at verse 34. I'm in Luke 1, verse 34. It says, and Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. So she has the same, how can this be? Remember Zechariah, how is this going to happen? His was more doubtful. Hers is, how can this happen? And her question is, how can I cooperate? There's a big difference. Now, it's worth noting because she herself says, I'm a virgin. I've gone without a man touching me physically sexually. Therefore, this is going to be a miracle. So verse 36, because the angel says the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. She gets a little bit of a detail. That's a little bit of an unusual setting. So that thing called Jesus will be the Son of God, will be birthed by the Spirit of God. And if you need a little bit of encouragement, verse 36, behold, your relative Elizabeth is with child at 6 months of age. Where does Mary go when she just says, what is going to happen? She goes especially to visit her relative Elizabeth. Who would understand a miracle pregnancy except Elizabeth, who's experiencing one just like her? She's there. Mary is there with Elizabeth for another 3 months when John is born. That's an amazing thing. So we have Zechariah. I'm confused. God's asking me to participate in something. Mary, how can this be? This is not supposed to be. She's confused. We have another one, Joseph. Let her see. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 1. Now, Joseph's the fiancé who is heartbroken because he's now hearing that his engaged girlfriend is pregnant, and he knows he's not the father. So we see something here that's happening in verse 18. He starts to make his own plan. Have you ever, because you're confused and you're not too sure how your life should go, that you start to always make a way without even asking God? Here's what I'm going to do. But we see here in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just want to make a pause there in verse 18. That's the first mention of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. The first mention of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved among the waters. But here's the first mention here. Verse 19, and Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Not only disgrace her, but if that the town folk were to hold true to the Old Testament jurisdiction, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 21, you can write it down, says, if anybody is found pregnant without being married, you take her out and stone her. So she runs the risk of not only public humiliation, but also the possibility of destruction. So Joseph's thinking, I'm going to put her away quietly. Poor guy. My marriage, my future's done. And you know this situation. The angel shows up in a dream and tells Joseph, don't be afraid to marry her, because that child within her is of the Lord. And you're going to call his name Jesus. You're going to call his name Yeshua, which is really Yahweh, or we could say God saves. It's important we get a chance. Yahweh saves. So when we see that, we understand some things. Joseph was uncertain, but just think with a moment how that it wasn't just one moment he's having to deal with the uncertainty and confusion of hearing what God would say to him, but all the days of his life facing the possible not only embarrassment, but ridicule. We know that there's possibly some real public fallout with his betrothal to Mary because she's found with child, and that there was one area in Scripture, and you could write that down, found there in John chapter 8, verse 41, during Jesus' public ministry. Remember when he's kind of debating, the Pharisees are coming on him pretty hard. And Jesus says, well, if Abraham was your father, you would know what I'm saying and believe. But because your father is the devil, now that doesn't go too well. Therefore, you don't believe. They said back to Jesus, we know who our father is. At least we weren't born of fornication. So somewhere along the line, community conversation says, you know, I think Joseph's wife had a baby outside of wedlock. So we can see here some things that are happening, but he's commanded, Joseph's commanded to accept Mary and marry her. Not completely understanding, pretty incredible man, pretty incredible man. Let's take a look at letter D, shepherds. Just minding their own business and watching the sheep, we see something here because God, in his unusual way, has he dealt with you in unusual ways? Asking you to do something, you say, well, I don't have any context for that. I don't know anybody that's ever going to do what I'm about to do. No one's ever gone and been a missionary to that group of people. I don't have anybody that I can call upon to talk this through. God's asking me to do something that I'm not familiar with. So it's unusual when those things come up. And in this situation, that God brings forth our Messiah in a way that who would have thought, right there in a stable, who would have thought with the most unlikely backgrounds of people, questionable, he brings a great elaborate birth announcement with a group of angels shouting and singing, but look at the audience. They are shepherds. They are shepherds. I'm looking at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in those days, friends, shepherds, they had kind of a shifty background. They're kind of a little bit transient. You want to tell your story of a shepherd, you just never know if they're kind of a little bit of a gypsy. So here God has given this great announcement. Good job. How many of you have had birth announcements? I remember when our children were born, I not only handed out sea suckers, I actually had a box of cigars. I was thrilled. Man, I put out, he's a boy, it's a boy, it's a girl. It was a big time, but the way God did it, I like it. But the crowd that he displayed that to, it's like this angelic singing group going out to the Caltrans worker in the middle of the night on the 405. What? Can we believe them? Who knows? Let's check it out here. Verse 8, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Wow. Can you imagine the confusion that these shepherds had? And their only sign was that you will go into Bethlehem and check it out. You'll find a baby in a feeding trough with some strips of clothing. Now, that's pretty amazing here. What the chances are in all of these Christmas characters, all of them receive direction from God with not fully understanding what exactly is going on. When we see something that's happening here, I think we can all experience that at some time. Point of confusion, point of uncertainty, maybe wonder, awe, even fear. God's asking me to do something or to give something. I need a little bit more information. I'm not going to do it. But we see something that's happening here, and I think it's pretty spectacular. I remember 46 years ago, When Ainsley and I had a chance to step into really ministry, and we were asked to take a Four Square church as pastors. We were uncertain. We knew we wanted to do things for the Lord, but that meant to give up the family printing business in Pasadena. We knew that God wanted us to do something, but the Four Square leadership kept asking us to take a church. We were still reluctant. So I've been there saying, oh, I don't know. How am I supporting my family? We said no 4 times to 4 different churches over the span of time. Isn't that great faith? No, we're not going to do it. We did not feel, we knew the needs were there. We did not feel God wanted us there. It was a real challenge. It was a challenge for my family, knowing that we might wave them off goodbye, for us to give up the family business, a secure income. You can imagine. I'm so glad we said yes. The only real direction we had is that Foursquare kept demanding we consider coming and being a part of things. The other thing was we had a prophet say, hey, you will be, and we, that's what started it. When we were pronounced, you will pastor church many miles from here, but the first 2 years are going to be very difficult. But they won't be difficult, that was the word, because I'll be with you in all of it. And it was difficult the first 2 years. But 15 years in Banning was an amazing stretch. And then when God asked us to move away from there and to come here, it was still a little bit of wonderment, but I'm so glad that we said yes. We get to be with you. Our love for you, our love for this church, our love for the city, we didn't know at the time. We didn't understand fully, but we knew this. God gives us some direction, but it doesn't always require a full understanding. Lord, you want us to do something. Is there anything else that we need to know? Because it sure be helpful to secure our comfort and confidence in this transition. So it's important. I just want to highlight how needful it is for us to, at times, to embrace the mystery, to go for the uncertainty. And here's why. Number 2 on our notes, God tells us enough to follow, but not every detail. If you have any relationship with Almighty God, and He's in this room right now, He will tell you something, but you will not get all the details. And why is that? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says that Christians live this way. It says, for we live by believing, not by seeing. Has anybody been to heaven yet? We haven't. Is it there? I really believe. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. We are to live by faith. So if we go back to each character in the Christmas story, we see that God told each person enough information so that they knew how to follow God. 2 areas, obey God and to follow God. Zechariah knew enough to go make a baby with his wife. Woo! We had Mary knew enough to humble herself to this whole process and what a process her life was. We had also Joseph. He knew enough to take Mary as his wife and reject all the advice. Don't marry her. Oh, she's going to have a reputation. You'll have to always defend her. And the shepherds, they knew enough to say, you know what, let's go check it out. There could be something in that feeding trough God's trying to tell us is very spectacular. And here it is, a little baby. Wow. Incredible. So letter A about our Christmas lesson. What's some of our takeaways? Letter A, once again, let go of the expectation of an explanation. I don't know about you. I have sat with people that are hoping I'll give them a prophetic word. They're wrestling with God. They're really arguing with God. I've argued with God. Have you ever argued with God? You know He wants you to do something, and you're just not going to do it. You do not have enough information. That really is. And the fear of the unknown can be paralyzing to Christians. But for those of us who have been walking with the Lord enough to realize I'd rather obey Him than disappoint Him. My first experience was with an interpretation as well. I remember I was just 18 years of age, wanting to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And we were in a little Foursquare church, Azusa Foursquare Church. And we had a speaker speak in tongues right in front. It's like, whoa, that's pretty wild. And all of a sudden, I felt this Adam's apple start to move up my throat. I had the interpretation for that tongue. and I would not give it. I struggled for that entire nighttime service. The speaker even said, I'm supposed to give the interpretation to somebody out there. I won't give it. I struggled to hold that. I do not know what I was about to say. I just knew I was supposed to open my mouth. Could you sense the scary element of that? I wanted to move in the gifts. Now I'm about ready to be moved into the gifts. Do you know I never gave that interpretation? So the service went on. I wept for 48 hours, made an appointment with my pastor, Elmer Nelson. I said, Pastor Nelson, remember a couple nights ago? Yeah. I said, I had the interpretation. I didn't give it. And I'm so sorry. He laughed like Santa Claus. That's all right, Paul. He says, you could give it to me now, but I bet you won't do that again. Glory to God. And off I went. Sometimes there are so many times that I just need to know exactly what I should be saying. Many of you want to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And you won't because you need more understanding. Or you're afraid of being portrayed differently than you think others should view you as. Take courage. Take courage. Let go of the expectation of an explanation. I like what Job says. Let's go to Job chapter 40. Because God is not intimidated by us trying to manipulate him to tell us more. He just really will says, listen, this is what you need to do. But check it out. In Job 40, verse 2, do you still want to argue with the Almighty? You are God's critic. But do you have the answers? Well, Job was really in a pickle, was he not? He wanted to know what was going on. I've argued with God. And it grieves my spirit. And sometimes that arguing with the Lord ends up feeling really lousy on the inside. I know God wants something of me. I'm not feeling good about doing it. And I think I'm more grieving the Holy Spirit than I am just now becoming worried. Consider that. Consider what you're doing. I like what Isaiah chapter 50 verse 8 says, because I think the Lord withholds information to me. I don't know about you. Because if he were to reveal everything to us, we would not be able to comprehend it. Your life intertwined with people, and you knew what every person in society, how you will influence and affect by a simple decision. If you knew what everybody's life, if you say, I'm just going to lay it out here. Here it is, one big tapestry. It would just boggle our minds. So God gives us a choice. This is what I have for you. I'll take care of the other people and network them. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, God says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So when we take a look at something like this, it's best just to humble ourselves, trust, and obey. I understand, do you, why Jesus says, except a person become like a little child, they're not going to enter into the kingdom. And that's not just like a born-again experience. That's like, let's go for the gusto for God. Let's go beyond the hymnals and beyond the little study reference sheets. Let's experience the Lord. Except a person become like a little child. What does that mean? Our 11 little grandchildren, they obey us. They don't understand why we're asking that. But they obey us. That's how we should be. No explanation from Grandpa. Get her done. And it's helpful. May you and I be in that area. Letter B. What is the step of obedience God has revealed to you? Where is that? What is it that you need to consider once again and revisit? My guess, most of us have had God reveal something some way, but we're still wrestling with the what ifs. What if I do? What will happen? What about? How come me? We're paying that person to do it. I don't want to do it. So let's be careful about that. I want you to be blessed. I believe that's God's heart for you. In James chapter 1, verse 25, let me put that up there for you too. It says, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Now, even though this is referencing the written word of God, that not only applies to the written word, but what God may be saying to you. Say, you know what, man, my blessings are just drying up. I feel like I'm just not connecting with people. Nothing really good. I'm just feeling areas of despair and depression. Why don't you consider this promise from God? For those that go about doing the word, not forgetting or trying to suppress what they heard, or in this case read, this person will be blessed for doing it. That means your life will work out. That's what the word, I like that definition of blessing. And often a part of the blessing God gives us is sometimes additional information when we step into those realms of doing that. He leads us, he directs us, and then he shows us why. I like that. But that's usually after the fact. When we have great stories and glory, we say, aren't you glad you did that? Aren't you glad you gave that? Aren't you glad you went? Man, it's all worth it now. I'm glad I said yes in my fear and uncertainty. As Scripture says, your life will have volumes written about you in those books. I want some things written about me. I don't want to play it safe. I like comfort and safety. But if God were to call, I want to be ready, and I know that's true with you as well. Some steps of obedience simply could be, but not very easily done, like forgiveness. God's asking you to forgive, or reconciliation, or serving, or sharing your faith with someone, or the possibility of giving. You're comfortable at a certain status of giving. Takes no faith. You write it, no problem. Piece of cake, here it is, it's all yours, God. And God says, but I want more. No, no, that's not God. What if it is? And you haven't prayed in a long time because you hear the same thing. Give your life to me. Loving somebody could be the request. Trusting by taking a risk or big time talking to a ministry leader and say, I sign up. Isn't that good? I like that one. So why would God do it this way? Let me highlight it. Number three, our faith is in a person we follow, not in our understanding. I'm hoping that's where you're at home, that your faith is in a person, not in understanding the process that you're in. That's important for us. I like the fact, in letter A, God wants to grow our faith and trust in him. So when we take a look, if God gave all the information up front, which is helpful for me, I like that. I like to analytically lay it out. I like to make my do list. But if he gave you everything, it would require no faith. Isn't that true?
That's true.
And faith is the only thing that pleases Father God. Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible without faith. There's got to be some faith, which means I don't know for sure, but I got enough information to do and to go. But if you are absolutely convinced, I'm going to do it. Now, I do that now looking back. That was God, and I'm so glad I went. But if you're absolutely convinced, you cannot please God that way. So I'm glad he leaves some things in question. So what are those things today? I like what Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says so clearly. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I think more revelation comes. Let me just journey with your week last week. Did you take time to even ask God, I'm dialing you up, Lord, is there something here I can do differently? Sometimes we move in our own intelligence and our own exposure, and we don't even pray to ask God. Has that been you lately? That it's usually a morning prayer and I'm off, God? I remember in our one little bathroom in Banning, California, on First Street, we had a three-bedroom, one-bath house, and one of the bedrooms was a garage conversion. So it shows you. And our bathroom was all of 6x7, and our sink was plugged. And I said, I could clean this trap out, undid it, snaked out all the hair from my two daughters and my wife, and one toothbrush, by the way. And I went to put it back on, cranked it in there, put the putty in there, and it leaked every time I put it back on. Every time. I've done this before. 7 times it was leaking, just ever so. And I'm about ready to crank the thing and throw it out the window. And my sweet little wife sticks her head around the corner and says, Paul, did you pray before you began? I lost my Christianity. Honey, I didn't pray. Isn't it amazing how God wants us to be dependent upon Him, which is letter B. God wants to grow our dependency on Him. I couldn't even put that little neck, that elbow back on the sink after I prayed, first asking for forgiveness. I put it on and it didn't leak. I think as of the last time I snaked that sucker out. Praise God. Praise God. So let's take a look here. Letter B, once again, God wants us to grow in our dependency. Let's look at John 15:5. Jesus says this, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. To learn dependency upon the Lord. Some of you are very savvy. There is a great wealth of intelligence here in Orange County. People are really on their A game in abilities and knowledge, education. And I find that many of those individuals don't really posture themselves to pray over details. Maybe even like before turning on your vehicle and driving, Lord, protect me. Show me where to go. So my final little explanation and example is this wonderful gift that every man wants for Christmas. I just thought we'd... But you know it would not operate if it did not have the power source. So as a Christian, you really will go nowhere. And God's very kind to us. He even tells us in His Word, He's kind to the just and the unjust. So you could be the most wicked person, God will still love you. He is good to the just and the unjust. But for you, who know God's been giving you some directives, we still can't even do that. We really need Jesus. Power that comes from Him. So I want to invite you right now. Let's get our hearts ready, would you, to receive as we get ready to pray. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We
We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.